Mini episode 441 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the FDH Lounge. At long last, it's Rick Morris and Kyle Ross coming at you again, talking the foosball. We are looking at over-under totals for the NFL season 2014. This is part one. We're going to go into the first part of the alphabet. As I say, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross. That means my great friend Kyle Ross is back in the lounge here talking football with us again. Great to have you back, my man. This is going to be a lot of fun. This was a great idea on your part.
Well, thank you. I appreciate those kind words, and there, I can assure you there is no place I would rather be than your humble abode talking NFL football. I'm ready.
Very humble, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well.
I'm ready, although I've already told you, last season was a good one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Gave you the Super Bowl before the season started, said who would win that Super Bowl, I was right on.
Yep.
Not to pat myself on the back, but I'll do that from time to time. This year, it just seems like every team, with the exception of a select few, is going to fall into that 7-9, 9-7 range.
I have a lot of teams picked in there.
And that never happens.
Right.
That never happens. Last year, I mean, the only ones that I was way off were obviously teams that drastically overachieved or underachieved. That's the way it works. But what we're going to do here in these next two parts is go, like you said, go through every team. We're going to look at the win total posted right now by Vegas, and we're going to say over or under. This will then give the listeners a decent framework when we reconvene next month and give our playoff picks.
Yeah.
You know, I like to wait. I like to watch a little bit of the preseason before I do that. It's too early to give playoff picks here in July.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's too early to get a good grasp here on how these teams are looking for the upcoming season when it comes to their win totals. You know, I have a decent idea. You know, I might adjust in the next month by one or so, but, you know, there's five or six, I know you said the same, that really jump out on me on this list. But regardless, we will either say over or under for every team. At least that's the plan. I'll probably say push on a bunch to upset you.
Well, on some of these, I will say push, but then I'll still give a thing of either way. So those are ones that I'm really not standing by much at all. But I will at least give an opinion on those. So leading off here, I know what you said alphabetically, Arizona goes first. And the funny thing is you and I did
our own research here.
Yes.
They do start with A.
This just in.
Very good, Ohio University.
Yes, exactly. Now, you managed to find more current numbers than me, so I'm not even going to bother spitting out the over-under numbers that I found. We'll just go with you. So Arizona, what'd you find?
There's 7.5.
That's what I found, too. Okay.
There's 7.5, and predictably, the juice is on the over. Overs minus 160, unders plus 140. I say predictably because this was a 10-win team last year.
Yep.
And now it seems that everybody likes the Arizona Cardinals, just like everybody likes LeBron James now in Cleveland, including you with that T-shirt. I never gave up on the guy. He's been, you know, I'm his personal Facebook friend.
I never. Nice. Yeah. Well, I never
That's
gave up
not
on
true,
the Cavs.
By the way.
I never gave up on the Cavs, not LeBron James.
Okay, well, anyway, back to the Arizona Cardinals, our good friends in the desert, Arizona.
Yes.
Great team to start out this podcast with. I'm going to tell you why. I love the under here.
Okay.
Love it at plus money.
All right.
And I'm going to start to tell you why. Bruce Arians, let's give a quick tip of the cap before I tell you why Arizona's not going to be that good this year. The last 2 years, he has led the most overachieving team in football both times. Indianapolis 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Remember, it was him, not Chuck Pagano.
Right.
That was basically the head coach of the team that made the playoffs in Andrew Luck's rookie
year. Although, not to be insensitive, but that's almost like the steroid attempt, and I don't and I don't mean steroids like the kind that the Pittsburgh Steelers use, allegedly, but I mean the thing of, like, we're playing for Chuck Pagano. Everybody is geared, like, at 110% of what they can
normally
get.
True, but I thought Arians did a great job.
He did,
and
too.
He proved that it was no fluke when he went to Arizona last year.
Yeah.
A team that, no, he inherited a team that had underachieved toward the end of the Ken Whisenhunt era. They were a 4-12 team the year before he got there. He takes them to 10 wins.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen this year? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen at all these, you know, Labor Day barbecues you go to. You're going to, without question, have some friend who's going to say this. Oh, you know who my dark horse team in the NFL is this year? The Arizona Cardinals.
And he's going to say,
did you know they went 10-6 last year? this does not prove your friend, assuming he's your friend, knows anything about football.
Right.
All it proves is they knows how to go to NFL.com and click the link that says standings.
Yeah.
You know me. I'm always leery when a team jumps from 4 to 10 wins.
Right.
It's a plexiglass principle.
Yeah.
They're probably going to drop.
Right.
I think this team overachieved. Like, do we really think Arizona is better than a 10-win team? Like, some people are like, no. I think this is a dark horse Super Bowl contender. That's crazy.
Tell you what, though.
To me.
They're a borderline top 5 defense. They are that great defensively, I think.
Love what they're doing in the secondary.
Yeah.
At first, when they announced, the draft pick, Buchanan.
Yeah.
Right? Is his name. And the first-round draft pick. A lot of people were scratching their heads.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might, you know. They obviously are trying to mirror what Seattle's doing.
Right.
In their own division.
It's a great model.
But speaking of Seattle, here's the problem with Arizona. It's the division.
Right.
Let's assume, and this is not a big leap of faith, that Seattle and San Francisco will both be back in the playoffs.
Yep.
I think most people are going to be back. If you like Arizona, you're saying 3 teams from the same division are going to be in the playoffs. And yes, that happens from time to time. It actually happened last year in the AFC West.
Yes.
But to my knowledge, since realignment in 2002,
mm-hmm.
you know how I love to throw out since realignment in 2002?
Yes.
It never happens in back-to-back years.
It's very rare.
You're and to predict 3 teams from the same division?
Yeah.
You know, then the other one's got to be really terrible, basically, like Oakland was last year in the AFC
yes.
West. St. Louis, who's the other team that we haven't mentioned, is not terrible.
Spoiler alert, I think they'll be ahead of Arizona.
Yes. So, plexiglass principle. Tough division. Carson Palmer, I think, is a ticking time bomb.
Right.
Suspensions and personnel losses in the front 7.
Right.
They lost Dansby to the Browns.
Yeah.
And then Washington gets suspended. I think Arizona's a 6 or 7 win team.
I'm saying 7, so that'll be just barely
so
under.
So you're going barely under.
Yeah.
And you know every year, roughly a third of the league sees its win total fluctuate by 4.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a team, you know, 10 wins last year. They could be in that group that goes down. I'm not cemented yet. Like I said, it's 6 or 7. I could easily see this being a 6-win team, but I'm with you. Last place in the NFC West, I believe Arizona will be as disappointing as any team in the league this year.
I think so. And again, if they finish with 6 wins, that will be no more indicative than them having finished with 10 wins last year. There's a number of teams where you look at it after the season's done and you go, they're not as good as their record or they're not as bad as their record.
Yes.
They're not as bad as a 6-win team, but they may only win 6 games. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's just tough being in that division.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I think a lot of people see that they were the team that went into Seattle and won.
Right.
It's Russell Wilson's only loss at home
right.
since he became the starter. But I think maybe a little too much faith is being put in there. Again, Carson Palmer, how much tread does he know? There's not a lot left there. There's not a lot of gas in the tank.
No.
Choose your analogy.
Yeah, you are absolutely right about that. So we agree
wow.
on Arizona.
We agree.
We got the first one out of the way.
Plus money, too. That really makes me like it.
Yeah.
Plus 140 on the under. So, you know, just.
Okay.
So also all of our listeners are clear. I know most know
yes.
this. That means if you bet 100, you would win 140 and plus
yes.
your 100 back. So that'd be a net gain of 2. You'd have 240 in your account.
Exactly.
At the end of the day. So that'd be a nice
yeah.
one. So
juice is coming your way if you bet this and the way that we're saying you should. And if you win, my rudimentary grasp of the alphabet tells me there's one more team in the league with an A, the Atlanta Falcons. And again, we'll see what you got them for the over under. Your numbers are more current than mine.
8.5.
The number I found was 8. So, okay.
Okay. So, and what's interesting now, since they opened at 8, they're now at 8.5. The juice, though, mm-hmm. a little on the under with the half now. So, over plus 105, under minus 125. I'm getting all these, by the way, from the Las Vegas Hilton Superbook. These are current as of yesterday. As of yesterday is what these were. So, the Falcons at 8.5. Over plus 105, under minus 125, just to be accurate.
Okay.
Our old friends in Atlanta, huh? The pavement of the NFL, as I love to call them.
Yes.
It all went wrong last year for the Falcons, didn't it?
Yes.
It went more wrong than we ever could have imagined, I would say.
Injuries didn't help. Steven Jackson hitting the wall didn't help. Defensively, a lot of holes there, and a lot of the holes remain. So, spoiler alert on what I'm going to say about them.
I'm a little surprised here. You. I'm a little
surprised.
I'm
going to
tell you
back.
What. Now, no one has been as critical of this team as me. Even when they were going, remember that 2 years ago they were 13-3.
Right.
We need to keep that in perspective.
Right.
First place in the entire NFC. They had home field advantage. We're very lucky to beat Seattle that year in the playoffs and then blew a big lead against San Francisco in the NFC Championship game. This is a very classic case. You talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
Just moments ago with Arizona.
Truth is somewhere in between.
Yes. They were nowhere near as good as 13-3 2 years ago.
Right.
But they're nowhere near as bad as 4-12 last
year.
Totally
agree.
This is a team that with Matt Ryan at quarterback, similar to what we've seen in just 2 years with Andrew Luck in Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
had been very fortunate in close games. Last year, that came back to bite them. They were very unlucky in close games.
Right.
I think they, you know, four of their first five losses were all by one score.
Mm-hmm.
They were all close games. So this is a very likely candidate to bounce back.
Right.
The question is, by how much? This is a pretty solid number.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they underachieved their Pythagorean record last year. You know how I love those Pythagorean records. That takes into account point differential.
You do indeed.
So they underachieved their Pythagorean win expectation by 1.6. This should have probably been, given their point differential, maybe a 6-10 team instead of 4-12.
Okay.
So really all the signs point to bouncing back.
Right.
They're going to be an 8 or 9 win team this year, mm-hmm. I would say, and they will battle for the last wild card spot in the NFC.
Okay.
8 wins won't cut it. 9 may not even cut it, to be honest with you.
Right.
They take 10 to make the playoffs, the NFC.
Unless you're the NFC East Division winner.
Yes,
more about that later.
You know what? That's on an island to itself.
Yes, that's
I think
true.
There's only one team coming from that division.
Right,
and
right.
Then,
if
so.
We're just talking about the other three, then you're absolutely right. I think it'll take 10.
I'm leaning towards 9 wins right now for this team.
Interesting. Because
they're still weak on both sides of the line.
They are. And that scares me. I've been the big pro Atlanta guy on the program the last couple of years. I'm saying 7-9. I just don't think they have filled enough holes defensively. I think they really got exposed last year as far as how that went. And I think that it's going to be a process of another year or so to kind of get back where they were. Now, again, Julio Jones being down, Roddy White being down, that didn't help. And there remains questions in the running game. But, again, weak on both sides of the ball with the lines. You're telling me there's holes there. For me, that's always a big uh-oh. So, yeah, I'm saying 7 wins. I'm going to go under. And this went from a
only
narrow.
Seven.
I'm going to say 7-9. Yeah. And this,
tough division, by the way.
Tough division. And, again, this is a thing where the number that I had found was 8. So this goes from a narrow under recommendation to a fairly strong one if you're telling me it's 8.5. Anything that's more than a game off, if I'm a game and a half or better away from the total, to me that's getting to be a fairly strong recommendation. For me, Atlanta's a fairly strong under.
I don't know. To me, with that whole I've referenced that teams see their win total fluctuate by 4, roughly a third of the league, they're an they're going to win. It's going to be 8 or 9. They will win either 8 or 9 games. I have not 100% decided. It's going to be either 8 or 9, which I guess here, that's why I'm not going to recommend it. Arizona was a clear recommendation for me.
Okay.
This, I mean, there might still be some 8s out there. Even then, you can't do any worse than a push. So you like the under more than I like the over, I'll say, on this one.
Okay.
I'm not sure that this is a playoff team, though. I'll say that with you.
Yeah, I clearly don't think they are if they're a 7-9 record. Next up, alphabetically, would be Baltimore. And what was
8.5.
That's the number I found also. Okay.
8.5 over minus 130.
Okay.
It's kind of predictable.
Okay.
This is a team that, you know, last year was the first year he did not make the playoffs under John Harbaugh.
Right.
I think a lot of people are going to call for a bounce back
mm-hmm.
from this team. I'm not sure why, because those people obviously did not watch the Baltimore Ravens in 2013, a team that was very lucky to get to 8-8 and be in position to even make the playoffs. If you recall, down the stretch on our weekly podcast, ripped them frequently. I
mm-hmm.
thought they stunk. I think Joe Flacco's contract is becoming an albatross on the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
He's overpaid. You know, I mean, I understand why he was paid based on the Super Bowl run.
Yeah,
that was
the body of record they were going off of.
But the Ravens are starting to see, okay, when you commit that much money to a quarterback who's not Manning, Rodgers, Brady.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you have to make some tough decisions on the other positions in your football team, and it hurts. Ray Rice appears to be done.
Right.
His off-the-field troubles don't help. I don't like the receiving core. Their offensive line is weak.
I kind of do, and I think Torrey Smith's turned the corner to be a legitimate number one wide receiver.
Oof, I can't go that far.
Okay.
I think their offensive line's not very good.
Okay.
The defense certainly isn't what it once was.
No, although they had a nice draft. They continued adding some players.
Ozzie Newsome's a wonderful executive. I'm not going to doubt what he does.
He's watched a lot of picks in recent years. I'm not just sucking Ozzie's ass blindly, but I thought they really had some good values. And Jernigan in the second round was highway robbery. That's a guy who should have been a mid-first-round pick.
Yeah, I didn't understand the drive.
Yeah.
I'm trying to recall why he dropped.
I don't know, but it was stupid. And I was pissed.
Because originally, remember, everyone's like, oh, Chicago Bears will take him mid-first-round.
Yeah.
And then.
What happened?
Was this one of those bad combines? Or
it might have been.
Caught with some of the wacky tobacco.
Whole league overthinks
if
everything.
If he didn't, I apologize.
That's one of those things, now that we've blindly thrown that out irresponsibly.
Yes.
That's one of those
podcast
things.
Podcast says Timmy Jernigan caught with marijuana. Podcast is two idiots.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, as a Browns fan, I was just pissed off. I was like, that is not supposed to happen, where the rest of the league screws the pooch and lets him fall to the Ravens in the mid-second round. I will tell you this. At 8.5, I got him at 9 wins, and I got him as the division winner. Because
what?
Here's the thing. I'm not denying what you said about last year, but they scratched and clawed and made it 8 wins. I think it's going to be a photo finish between them, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh. And you said there's only been one season where they haven't made the playoffs under John Harbaugh. And all of this must be prefaced, and I can't say this strongly enough, and for anybody that's been listening for a long period of time, they know this. So my apologies for being repetitive to long-term listeners, but I loathe the Baltimore Ravens, okay? It's like pulling out nard hairs and pouring in turpentine for me to say anything nice. But I mean, if
you're
sounds
horrible,
yeah,
by the way.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure it wouldn't be fun, but allegedly. Yeah. But, I mean, if you're telling me those three teams are right there, which one of those three do I think is going to have the oomph to crawl across the finish line? I guess I'm looking at some of the same things you're saying, and I'm drawing a different conclusion. They made it to 8 wins doing that last year. I think they can make it to 9 wins this year when the division is going to be a little bit down, I think, overall.
Yeah, I do not like this division
year.
That year.
I don't
this
either.
This year.
This is one of these things, too, and we'll get to this, and we'll get to this in our later divisional previews, but by default, okay, because I and this will all come out in the wash that I'm picking 7 teams to repeat this year in the playoffs. There's never more than 7. It's frequently less than
never
that.
More than 8. There's been
okay.
8 is the magic
all
number.
Right. Well, yeah, okay. Even 7, it's kind of rare to get that kind of repeat from year to year. Cincinnati is just one of those teams, again, it's hard to pick anybody else in the division, but I feel like I have to because they're not one of the 7 teams that I'm locked into. So it's sort of like Baltimore by default, that it's got to be one of these teams in there, and I believe in Baltimore more than I do Pittsburgh right now. It's really as simple as that.
Therein lies our difference.
Okay.
I do not like Baltimore more than I like Pittsburgh.
Okay.
That
stands to reason, then.
I like Baltimore under.
Okay.
Here, I think they are a 7 or 8 win football team.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So, we disagree on that.
I did not
my
like,
first over.
Yeah. I did not like the team last year at all. I cannot repeat that enough.
Yeah.
I thought they were really lucky to get to 8-8. Really lucky.
I just look at some of that and say, you know, I think it's
maybe
it's
I'm just
kind of a down
wrong,
year.
Yeah,
some years are just bad years for teams.
I mean, and keep in mind, too, I didn't really like them.
Right.
2 years ago, the year they won the Super Bowl.
That's true.
Remember, they were 9-2? I was
right.
Like, this is like the luckiest 9-2 team ever.
Yeah.
And then they regressed a little bit after I said that. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, here you go. The Ravens weren't that good.
Yeah.
And then all they did was go and win the Super Bowl
that
in the playoffs, which
run.
No one
yeah.
saw coming.
Right. Yeah. At least of all Peyton Manning.
Here's the thing. Had they not won the Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
2 years ago, would anyone like this team? Like, don't you think, the old Baltimore Ravens.
They would get credit for being at the dance and going deep into the playoffs repeatedly. I do think they would get credit for that. I hear what you're saying. A Super Bowl puts a different exclamation point on an era.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had this talk on the show a few years ago because
we did.
In a little bit of a different context, we were talking about Baltimore, and I was talking about how much credit people gave them for being a perennial winner. And I said, wait a minute, they won the Super Bowl in 2000, but people lumped that in. Even when Harbaugh got to be the coach, people would lump that in, like the Baltimore Ravens year after year. I'm like, how many guys are still left from their Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
team? So as far as perception, what that does, I agree with you completely, because they coasted off of that last Super Bowl when almost halfway through the John Harbaugh era, as far as perception goes. So they'll still be milking this Super Bowl until about 2020. I agree with you.
2020?
Probably.
When does Joe Flacco's contract go to? Is it probably
2020?
Okay, yeah.
Probably beyond 2020. They should be so lucky. I agree with you on Flacco. I disagree with you on Torrey Smith. And because of that, because I think he does have a legitimate number one weapon, that also colors how I look at that offense. Bernard Pierce, while not 100% healthy going into training camp, I think will give them at least league average running back capabilities there. I think Flacco's going to bounce back somewhat from last year. I just think last year was the classic Super Bowl hangover, which usually goes to the Super Bowl loser and didn't. Last year it went to the Super Bowl winner all the way. No question about it.
This team had the worst running game in the NFL last year. Not that it, I mean, it's a passing league now.
Worse than the Browns? That
yes,
takes
I think I think they did.
Wow.
I think the Ravens were worse at running the football. They were – Ray. I cannot stress to you. Go back and look at Ray Rice.
Oh, yeah. It was like 3.3 yards per carry. How funny is that, by the way? You had two of the worst historical running games.
They
in
were
the
probably the two
the
worst. They were probably the two
in
worst.
The same division. That's
they
amazing.
Were probably the two worst.
Yeah,
they were
yeah.
probably
it
the two
was,
worst.
It was not pretty in C-Town. We know that. But all right, so we disagree on Baltimore as well. The early harmony fading already on the last two. We go now to Buffalo, which I know from off air the harmony will be fading here as well. This is one of the ones I feel the strongest on. I don't know what the most recent total is.
6.5.
That's the number I had. I'm going over. I'm saying 8-8, and that they back into the playoffs as an 8-8 wild card team. Process of elimination in the AFC. I see the incredulous look on your face. Process of elimination. I think they're a decent team. It remains to be seen how much defensive continuity there's going to be from last year, but defensively they really had it going on. That's what helped get Mike Pettine the Browns' job, that and most of the rest of the league passing on working for Joe Banner. But they did have a very good defense last year. E.J. Manuel should be back healthy this year. I love what Sammy Watkins is going to give them offensively, and I'm expecting a little bit more health out of C.J. Spiller. I'm expecting a better scenario all in all. Out there, win one for Ralph Wilson, 8-8, and a mediocre wild card run. That's what we call winning one for Ralph Wilson.
I agree that whoever gets the second wild card in the AFC is going to be probably pretty mediocre.
Right,
but the Bills have never even proven themselves to really be mediocre during this non-playoff run of theirs. The longest in the NFL, by the way. They have not participated in a playoff game since losing the Music City Miracle.
No,
it's pretty horrible.
The forward pass.
I was
by the way.
Sophomore in college.
Well, in fairness,
a forward pass.
It
stop
was.
It.
That was a cheat.
No one is just grumpier. And when we're grumpy about the great plays, no one will just try to like disparage the great plays. It's a forward pass.
Yeah.
Or what are some of the other things that you're always like, oh, that was just, you know, that was just cheating, and like I can't remember.
Tuck rule. I know I wasn't big on the tuck rule either.
Oh well, I agree with you there.
All right,
but anyway.
By second year of Doug Marrone, though. I mean,
I like Doug Marrone.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I like E.J. Manuel.
Okay. I'm
Kiko
not sure
Alonso
I like
already
him
out for the year, and it's July.
That's true.
That's not
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was kind of one of those guys kind of.
Yeah,
he?
A little bit.
Overrated white.
Yeah.
I don't like. Public the, agrees
the,
with you.
The John McDonald of their yes. defense.
Public agrees with you. The over here is minus 160.
Okay.
Under plus 140.
I was just bemused at that over under. It's like, why is everyone crapping on the Bills?
This is a good number. Well, because they're never good.
Have you looked at the AFC recently here?
What was
in
their
the
record
land
last
of the blind,
year?
The one-eyed man is king.
6-10, last place in the AFC East last year. Pretty typical finish for the Bills.
In a year when they didn't have their quarterback for a good chunk of the way.
That's true, and he was a rookie anyway.
Yeah, rookie. Didn't have Sammy Watkins, which he will have this year. So.
Yeah, and he should be pretty good.
Yeah.
I could see this being a 7-win team.
Okay.
I don't like this one. This is the first one I really don't like.
Okay.
Remember when I said that I would have frustrate you on the show and
okay.
make you wonder why you have me on?
So you're picking them for 6 wins?
I'm going to pick them for
and
6.5.
Yeah, you're going to for 6 wins and a tie. So
six,
it's a push.
6-9-1. Well, no, even then, that would, you know, the tie would factor in there. If they were 6-9-1, that'd be an under. Yeah, I just don't like this, even though it's with the half.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll decide.
Okay.
I was with you. Initially, I know when we, at the end of the season, talked about what to look forward to in the AFC East, you and mm-hmm. I both kind of thought that of the three ugly stepsisters for
yeah.
New England, Buffalo might be the best of that
right.
lot.
You still agree?
I don't know. I'm just not as...
Them ugly stepsisters be pretty ugly.
Here's the thing. Teams that kind of come out of nowhere in mm-hmm. the NFL, when you talk about non-playoff teams that make the playoffs, they typically make a big jump. And I don't see the Bills making that. You don't. I mean, you're only seeing them go from 6-8 and get in.
Yeah.
That's usually not the way it works.
Okay.
Usually it's like, you know, Kansas City going
right.
from 2-11. I mean,
right.
I know that's huge. Or, you know, a team going from like 5-9 or 6-10. The Bills are not a 10 game.
No.
I don't, like you said, I like Marrone. I like Manuel. This team, you know, it seems that they've got an eye toward a progressive view of football. Hurry it up on the offensive ball. I just think the defense is going to suffer without Pettine. I don't know. I don't know about Bills.
Okay.
6 or 7 wins, definitely no playoffs. I will definitely disagree with you there. This will not be a playoff.
Okay, going to disagree on that. All right, next up, the Carolina Panthers. Early number I found for them was 8, which if that's
yep.
the number you found, okay. This is tough for me because I'm picking them for 8-8. So in looking at it here, I tried to factor in a number of different things when I was looking at teams, if I picked them right on the number that I found. Part of that was what divisions they play. They play the NFC North.
South
and
Carolina.
They play the
Oh, pardon
in
me.
Conference.
Pardon me. I misspoke.
In
I misspoke.
Conference.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. In conference, they got the North, and then they got the AFC North. So AFC North, I could see them clawing their way through that pretty good. NFC North is going to
be tough.
Some issues. Although I'm picking them for 8-8, you put a gun to my head, I say take the under.
I won't put a gun to your head.
Okay.
And you won't have to put one to mine.
Okay.
I am definitely like the under here.
All right.
I like this one a lot. And also, plus money? I mean, if this is,
yeah.
I mean, plus 130, you talk about teams that made the playoffs the previous year.
Right.
And what do? Every year at the start, we're like, okay, we try to identify which playoff teams from a year ago aren't coming back this year.
Right.
I had a hard time doing that this year.
Yeah.
This was one of two that immediately came to mind.
This was harder for me than some. I still love that defense. That defense is for real.
Not the secondary, though. But they've got a great front seven. The secondary kind of was opportunistic last year. They lost some pieces.
Right.
the retirement of Jordan Gross does not help the offensive line.
Right.
The receiving core
is horrible
stinks.
As always. Yeah. And the running backs, we've talked about this before. How do they manage to suck as much as they do? On paper, that's a heck of a stable they have. And from year to year, they never do crap. That's what scares me. I think Cam Newton, fantasy alert, is in for a big regression this year. He is one of my biggest regression candidates.
Did he have
in
a great year last year?
Statistically, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My fantasy team
a lot of that
stunk
came
last
from running.
Year.
A lot of okay, it came yeah. from, you know, and he'll still have that. But here's the thing, okay? Here's a clue to the Carolina front office. When you have a guy like Steve Smith with the remnants of his career, okay, you get somebody in there better than him so he can be your number two wide receiver. You don't cut him and start from scratch with nobody, which is basically what
they
done.
And they drafted Kelvin Benjamin correctly, Florida State?
Yeah. Who
that?
Let me tell you something. If you think every game is going to be the national championship game, let me tell you something. That guy's got the bad stretch of Corin Robinson's career written all over him. He's a big guy, but how much is he going to get open? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, there were some concerns. He was slipping down draft boards as things got closer.
Yeah, for good reason. If that guy's your downfield threat, then they could do a lot worse than 8-8.
A couple other things working against Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The old NFC South. What do I say every year about the NFC South?
Yeah.
There has never been a repeat division winner.
Yeah, there won't be again here.
The Carolina Panthers have also never had back-to-back winning seasons in franchise history. Uh-oh.
Again, probably not going
to
happen.
And plexiglass principle. They went from 7 wins in 2012 to 12 in 2013. They were the team, every year there is one, it seems, that goes from non-playoffs to first-round bye. They then lost that bye against San Francisco. New Orleans is still pretty good, right?
Right.
Atlanta's going to be better, right?
Yep.
Tampa Bay, we're not going to get to them for a while.
But
they're going to
be
better.
Good. Yeah.
So somebody's got to lose more games this year than they did last year.
Ruh-roh, Carolina.
Yeah. I don't see this team winning more than 7 games.
By the way, too, it just amuses me going back to the playoffs. It seemed to be like a big hipster pick, them to hang on and knock off San Francisco.
Well, remember
like,
the number.
San Francisco's got to travel cross-country, you know. Like,
remember, I remember I was a little bit leery because you know how I love them home dogs.
Right.
And they were a home dog in the divisional round. You don't see that very often. And they, you know what? To their credit, and I'm glad you brought that up, Ron Rivera, God bless him, but he got conservative in nature in that game again, which is what got him into trouble early on in his tenure.
Right.
And, you know, he adopted that whole Riverboat Ron philosophy.
Right.
You know, we had talked about all the time beforehand that he got this huge quarterback.
Right.
Why don't you go for it more on 4th and 1?
Right.
And so he started going for it more on 4th down. And, you know, people were like, oh, Ron Rivera finally gets it. But was it that or was it a guy who started 0-2 and all of a sudden was like, I desperately need to save my job?
Yeah.
Bold proclamation. Mm-hmm. This could be Ron Rivera's last year as head coach, Carolina.
I don't disagree.
I know they did great last year, and that should mean something. They're going to regress big this year. It's going to probably look bad. When I say no more than 7 wins, and looking at the NFC, there's not a lot of teams that I'm picking to do really bad.
Right.
There's no team
that
I'm picking to do worse than 6-10 on paper. Carolina's a team, but we know that's going to be wrong. We know one team's going to implode and only going to win like 4 games.
Right.
Carolina's a team that could happen to, I think.
Well, and the thing of it is, too, is that expectations here, it's sort of like the political spinning and campaigns going into a debate. We're debating against a guy who took on the entire Harvard faculty in debating. You know, it's like it's all about where the baseline of expectation is. And to say that it could be Ron Rivera's last year is quite insane, except for we've seen it before. Most recent thing that pops into my mind is the 2007-2008 Cleveland Browns. The Browns fluked their way to 10 wins. The next year, predictably, I mean, I try to tell people going into the season, like don't freak out if they don't win the Super Bowl, people. Browns fall apart in 2008, blow the whole thing out. Hire Eric Mangini, which might be the very low point since they came back in 1999, and that's saying something, but it happens. It absolutely happens. People lose their freaking minds when you fail to build on something, no matter how fluky it might have been.
Yeah, realize the NFL, it's an up and down league. And look, just to get, I don't think there's a single decent starter in the secondary right now on this team.
That might be their weakness.
Now all the starters in the front seven are very good.
Oh, my God, that's a great front
which
seven.
Which can cover for a bad secondary, but this team also, remember that the big knock against Rivera and Newton was their record in close games. It was just awful. It was like, I think together they lost 14 of their first 16 games that were decided by a touchdown or less.
Yeah.
And then last year that kind of bounced up.
Yeah.
This year it might just sort of plateau because I mean, they're still under 500 in that situation, but everything kind of went right for this team down the stretch. Yeah. They're playing a first-place schedule now, too, and the first-place teams in the NFC are pretty good. That's Seattle, Green Bay, Philadelphia.
Yeah. Eek. Yeah. That's going to work against them. Yeah. I'm saying 8 wins, but I'll take the under.
I'm saying no more than 7 for
okay.
this team. I like
now,
the under.
On the next one here, I don't even if I don't know what the exact
8.5
thing is, 8.5 for the Bears. All right, the number I'd found was 8. I'm still saying over. I'm going to say a game and a half over. I got the Bears at 10-6. I got them as a wild card. They're one of my strongest recommendations, either over or under in the entire league.
Wow.
Again, we're conditioned to first think defense when we think of the Bears. That's actually the weaker side of the ball.
Yeah.
No question about it right now. That defense is no better than middle of the pack, but that offense will be one of the best in the league. And I say that even as a guy that's not completely sold on Jay Cutler. But, I mean, if this isn't sort of ultimate optimal situation for a quarterback, two Pro Bowl caliber wide receivers out there, Matt Forte, who's one of the top 5 running backs in the league right now. Don't sleep on Kadeem Carey coming off the bench and making some things happen as well here.
Yeah. But what happened to him? He had like a slow 40 time or something, didn't he?
It's another
and people
thing
didn't like
too.
You.
Yeah, yeah. People just freaked out, lost their minds. I think the Bears are going to put a ton of points on the scoreboard. I think they're going to be breathing down Green Bay's neck all year long. I think those games are going to be epic. I think that last year, having come up short in the divisional championship game is going to add extra fuel to that fire. I think they're going to come up short again just because of the big regard I have for Green Bay coming into this year. But I love the Bears, one of my strongest recommendations for an over.
I do not feel strongly about this number one way or the other.
Okay.
Like Mark Trestman, though. I feel strongly about him.
Really good coach.
Did I tell this story in the last podcast? I can't remember.
When
time I visited Chicago, talked to a buddy out there. He agreed with me about when I was like, you know, I just want to tell you that Mark Trestman is a much better coach than Mike Ditka ever was. And he said, I couldn't agree more.
That was fighting words in them parts.
No, he said, I couldn't agree more. Mike
really?
Ditka, most overrated coach of all time. I said,
wow.
This is a man who knows his Chicago football.
Yeah.
Shout out to Adam Chez. He's listening. This number looks pretty good. I can see the Bears winning 8 or 9 games.
Okay.
The over is -150 right now, under +130. So, bettors agreeing with you right now, Ricky.
Yeah.
What you said about Chicago being all offense and no defense really applies to the entire NFC North. Like, these games are going to be fun this year to watch. All NFC North, like, you know, the old, you know, insert Chris Berman cliche here, Norris Division, black and blue. It ain't like that anymore.
Well, the biggest exception to that rule is Minnesota, just because their offense is still highly questionable.
True. But
they have the most parity between sides of the ball of anybody in the
division.
I agree.
But Chicago and Detroit are very similar to me, and I think are going to be battling it out for that last playoff spot in the NFC. Atlanta could be in that mix, too. I liked, and we'll talk about them in a little bit. I like Detroit a little bit more than Chicago.
Okay.
Just because I think Detroit underachieved more last year.
They might have, yeah.
And Detroit obviously had a big addition by subtraction.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
You know,
coaches. I know you were not a big fan.
Yeah. But this division is going to be tough. And here's the thing. I think the Lions are going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both agree the Packers are going to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, full season of Aaron Rodgers being healthy. Minnesota's not going to be worse.
Right.
So you really can't pick an entire division to be better.
Right.
Can you? I'd have to look that up. I'll do my homework next time and
it's
see.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, has that ever happened that an entire division improved its win total from the previous year? I'd be willing to say it's very rare if ever happened. So,
but with the exception of Green Bay, maybe, I'm picking marginal improvement from the other team.
Even a one win, like, I'm literally saying I would be shocked if there was an occurrence of all four teams improving their win total in 1 year.
Well, some of it depends, too, on, again, who else you're playing. They play the NFC South and the AFC East here, which, on balance, is not the easiest combination.
NFC South, AFC East?
Yes.
Yeah, the East, I mean, you get New England.
That's,
the other three
true.
Are beatable.
Yeah, they'll pick through the rest of the East. You're right about that.
And the South?
Carolina, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay are still works in progress.
Yeah, but they're pretty even. I mean, that's tough for the AFC East.
I'm reconsidering. I'm thinking it's more favorable than what I thought a second ago.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. The Bears, I can see where you're going, but this is another one like the Bills. I'm punting on this
one. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Next up, the Cincinnati Bengals, the defending AFC North champions and favorites in the mind of many to repeat as champions of the division. What'd you find for the total?
9.
All right. Yeah, that's the same number I found. Contrary to, I think, what I was saying when we did our early 2014 previews back in February/March, April, I'm going to go under. I've been kind of reconsidering a little bit about Cincinnati, and I have a weird feeling about the quarterback situation. It's the walk year for Andy Dalton. He's going to be holding out for a big contract, which is a freaking joke. I'm getting a real, and you're going to laugh when I say this, with them drafting A.J. McCarron, maybe it's just an SEC thing, I'm getting a real Eric Zier circa 95 vibe about that situation there.
The Z-man, Eric Zier.
Yeah, a quarterback gets drafted from the SEC because A.J. McCarron will be the biggest fan favorite in the Natty if they get off to a bad start. You could have a quarterback controversy coming here based on the way that they finished the season with Andy Dalton. I just have enough questions about them. Again, defensively, I think they're very strong, but they lose Mike Zimmer. They actually lost both coordinators.
Yeah, and that's huge.
Yeah.
But let's rewind.
I'm
going to
say 8-8, so I'm saying under.
I agree with you.
Okay.
I'll just get that out of the way first. I think this is an 8-8 football team, and I do not think they will make the playoffs.
Okay.
Let's rewind a year. I think I talked about this the last time we did a podcast when we talked about the AFC North. I talked about, going into last season, how lucky they were to retain both of their coordinators, Jay Gruden and Mike Zimmer.
Big upset, because they could have lost both a year ago.
And now they have lost both of them. Mm-hmm. That's huge. I do not have a lot of confidence in Hugh Jackson as the offensive coordinator.
No.
And Mike Zimmer was one of the great defensive coordinators.
Yes.
Who was really able to coach up that secondary. A secondary, they drafted Denard out of Michigan State.
Right, that'll help.
That'll help, but cornerbacks kind of struggle sometimes in their first year. That's a position where there's kind of a steep learning curve.
Yeah, it's complicated.
There's a lot of talent here, I've got to admit. There is that one glaring hole, and you referred to it already with Andy Dalton. And we've already talked about Atlanta, talented roster where it all kind of just fell apart worse than anyone could have imagined last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I compare this team to Houston and the Jets before it.
Wow. Okay.
Teams where everyone knew the quarterback was the liability,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, oh, well, just, you know, if he could just improve,
mm-hmm.
they'll be great. They could be a Super Bowl contender. Look, your boy Raymond Smalley killed me when I said the Bengals would have a chance to make the AFC Championship game going into the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And then they just fell flat on their face again, losing to San Diego at home.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, this team was 8-0 during the regular season.
You talk about going to the playoffs, though. Sometimes 8-0 teams lose their first home playoff game.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
I just think it craters this year for the Bengals.
Craters, wow.
Yeah, I know 8-8.
That's worse than 8-8.
Yeah, but the problem is I just don't love anyone in this division enough to say that they're going to lose a lot of games.
Right.
I think if this team goes 8-8, though, that's bad, given the talent on both sides. I mean,
I
the
agree.
Skill position, sans quarterback, they're pretty loaded.
I agree. Geno Atkins went healthy, arguably a top 10.
They didn't have him most of the year. They lost
true.
Leon Hall for a good portion of last year.
They did.
So they had some bad luck with the injury front. I just think that after three straight exits in the wild card round, this team is looking at Andy Dalton and saying he's not the guy.
Right.
I compare it to Houston and the Jets. Why? Matt Schaub and your boy Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
I just think this has that vibe. Is A.J. McCarron the answer long term? Probably not. But I could definitely – the backup quarterback is always the most popular guy in town.
Yeah, especially,
I totally see what you're saying here. And because some teams, you know, you got to pick at least four playoff teams to not make it the next year, I do not believe the Cincinnati Bengals will make the playoffs this year.
Okay, so we agree on that, and we agree on the under. Next up, the Browns.
No, you did it wrong.
The Browns.
Yeah, that's better. You did it much better. You captured the vibe of both shoes much better than I did on that one there. Yeah, I found 6.5 for the win total. Is that what you found?
Yep.
For them? Okay. My Cleveland Browns, and it pains me, but it's a strong pick for me on the under, at least based on how things are now. I will say they're one of the teams, based on what I see in training camp, where I could revise my opinion, because I'm basing this almost completely on one standard. And I know I've said this a couple of times here, and this might be an ongoing joke, like in one of Mick Foley's books where he kept calling matches one of the top three matches of his career. I think I've already said that a number of teams are top five in the league in defense or top 10 at the worst. I'm going to put the Browns in there, too. You don't know, people. You don't know how good this defense is that the Browns have. This defense, what they have continued doing, filling in the pieces, they're going to have the best secondary since the Halcyon days of Minnefield and Dixon back there.
For the Browns, not in terms of the NFL.
For
okay,
Browns,
we're not
going
to put them up
with
the Seahawks, for God's sake.
Yeah, no. But, you know, in a few years, that may not be an insane point of comparison when you're looking at the secondaries. But, no, nobody in the league compares to the Seahawks. That's a historically great secondary. But But the Browns have, on the defensive side of the ball, they really don't have any glaring weaknesses anywhere. Some would say inside linebacker, but in one of the two spots there, not the one that Carlos Dansby's in, but they drafted this Chris Kirksey kid out of Iowa that I understand is a real beast and could really start developing even year one. But offensively, and again, the whole thing of they didn't draft a wide receiver, I was shrieking about that. Josh Gordon being out.
Especially because they knew.
Yeah, they knew. They knew Josh Gordon was getting suspended for the cheap here, no question about it. And again, I'm saying second-best wide receiver in the league behind only Megatron. It is Josh Gordon. You can maybe make an argument for A.J. Green, Julio Jones, handful of guys. You know, Julio Jones went healthy, handful of guys. I say Josh Gordon's the second-best wide receiver in the league because look at what he did with the garbage throwing him the ball last year. Outside of Brian Hoyer, who was unexpectedly competent,
okay.
competent to pretty good when he was in there. I mean, but that was still like the crown jewels compared to the rest of the garbage at quarterback last year. You're going to have a better situation this year at quarterback. I think it's going to be Hoyer at the outset and maybe a decent chunk of the season, notwithstanding the media, what they want with Manziel. But Manziel is still better.
It's the left-wing media that you'll blame.
Yeah, I'll blame the left-wing media. But it's the inverse situation. Better quarterback play this year, but horrific wide receiver play. I mean, this might make Carolina look good. And it just, you do have Jordan Cameron, who again, poor man's Jimmy Graham, you know, a very, very good tight end, more or less playing wide receiver at the position, but I don't think he's enough. He's going to be double teamed the minute he gets off the bus. And the running game, I expect it to be better, but
I like that rookie they got out of Towson.
I like him, except there's a lot of city miles on him. He had a lot of 40-plus carry games in college. So he comes into the if we're sweating these Alabama running backs.
I like that expression, city miles.
Yeah,
huh?
that's much like the cast of Sex and the City. That's where I've heard it used before. A lot of city miles on that, you know. Same thing with the Browns.
Terrence West,
yeah,
yes.
Terrence West.
Yes.
Don't sleep on Isaiah Crowell, though. Undrafted free agent. He ended up playing at Alabama State. Had to go there because he got run out of Georgia for off-field stuff. If he can stay healthy.
Jesus, what did he do?
Yeah.
I mean, for Mark Richt to throw you off the team, I mean, what did he do? Stick up every gas station in Athens?
But I'm telling you, man, arguably the best free agent running back this team has had since the glory days of Ben Gay. I'm calling it right now.
Speaking of Ben Tate, they brought in Tate.
All
right, I'm going to
the wide receivers. That's what scares me. That's why I'm saying 5-11 right now. We'll see what happens in preseason, and I may revise my expectation up. Kyle, right now, the wide receivers scare the piss out of me. No question.
They got Hawkins from the Bengals, who seems to would be a nice number three, I guess.
Everybody they have are slot guys, Kyle. You have to play somebody at the X and the Z. Yeah, Jason Jones is telling me on Facebook, our senior editor at FDH, what about all these guys? I'm like, Jason, they're all slot guys. You can't win with just slot guys.
Miles Austin, does he have a lot of city miles on him?
He's got a lot of city miles on those hammies if they're still attached to his legs.
What Earl Bennett? How many city miles does he have?
He was there, cut already. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
How about?
The guy didn't make it to training camp. What does that tell you? Nate Burleson, who breaks his arm as soon as he signs here.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
This team's going to win more than six games. They're going to win. They're going to win at least seven.
Kyle, everybody's going to go 8-in-a-box on the Browns.
You know what's interesting?
What?
So many people are miffed by this receiver thing.
Yeah.
And they're not. That it makes me wonder. I'll say this. Had Gordon not been suspended, I would have picked big things from this team. This division's ripe for the pick. And this, when I look at, like, the surprise, every year there's some team that no one saw coming.
Yeah.
This AFC North is ripe for a surprise. There's always a last place team from the previous year that comes out of nowhere. If Gordon wasn't suspended, I'm telling you, I would have picked the Cleveland Browns to win this game.
I mean, but here's the thing, though. Being in town all these years should tell you, as far as teams drinking their own bathwater, Eric Mangini thought he had a historically great draft in 2009. The Browns thought they had great quarterbacking last year going into the season. Kyle, don't go by.
They're not alarmed.
Come on.
I've never liked the Cleveland Browns. You know that about me.
Right, right.
I really liked their draft. I like the new coach.
Aside from the wide receiver
thing, like the new coach.
Right.
Much better than what they've had previously, I can already tell you. I don't want to hear about Rob Chudzinski. He deserved
Judd
more.
Got screwed.
No, he didn't. Rob Chudzinski stinks.
Don't be like knuckle-dragging Browns fan who only likes Mike Pettine because he's got a shaved head and he looks intense.
I don't. You know why I don't like Rob Chudzinski? Because they lost seven games in a row at the end of the year. That's inexcusable in the NFL. Every coach who has a seven-game losing streak gets 86, whether it's that year or the
next. Four words, Brandon Weeden, Jason Campbell.
Don't care. You can't lose seven games in a row in the NFL.
It's not advisable.
No, it isn't. No. No, it isn't. I think the GM situation's better. Jimmy Haslam, I think, brings a strong sense of ethics and fair play to the organization.
That could have been a spit take if I was drinking anything.
Has certain, well, you know, I mean, he does not face prosecution. The man hasn't been charged with a crime, you know, so he's okay. I like the Browns over. I think they're a 7 or 8 win team. So this is the one that you and I disagree by a lot.
Okay.
So,
all right, so
I think they're
disagree.
A 7 or 8 win team, and I think we'll reconvene again in a month.
Okay.
I think this team can challenge for a playoff spot.
Okay. All right. Next up, we have alphabetically here, Dallas. And
how about them Cowboys?
Yeah. The America's quintessential 8-8 team. I
and
think that's
guess
there.
What the number is?
Is it 8?
Yep.
Ooh, tough call for me because I'm saying 8-8 again.
Yeah, 3 straight years, 8-8.
Okay.
For
I'm
how about them Cowboys?
Be 4. But and look, here's the thing. Not real hard for me on the tiebreaker because AFC South they play. That's very forgiving.
Yep.
NFC West.
Not forgiving.
But. They may go 0-4 against them. I'm saying 8-8, but they're way more likely to be 7-9 than 9-7. Take the under.
I like where your head's at. Some people hate this team coming in. It's just like the defense on paper.
They're not any more of a fraud than
they
usually
are.
Does
not look good.
No.
Yeah, but they've lost.
They
like,
lost to
they were
Ware.
Bad last year.
Right.
And they lost like their best player, Sean
right.
Lee's gone.
Right.
Like this team looks really bad defensively.
Right.
But as New Orleans proved last year, defense can fluctuate heavily from year to year.
Right.
So I don't think this team is as bad as some of its detractors maybe want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the under is heavy juice here, minus 185 on under 8.
People are looking at that NFC yeah. West thing.
Yeah, but this division's not very good.
No.
And, look, they've it's crazy that they've been 8-8 3 straight years. Could it really be 4?
Could be 4. Here's the thing that's even crazier. I don't pick them to win the division, but 8-8, I think, will win the division.
8-8 could win this division.
Yes.
I joked when we did kind of our exit podcast on the season last year, I might just pick all 4 NFC East teams this upcoming year to go 8-8 and just pick one to get a tiebreaker.
Spoiler alert, I have one at 7-9 and the rest 8-8.
I can really see that happening. I love what you said about they're more likely to go 7-9 than 9-7.
Yes.
I agree with that, but still, I'm going to punt on this situation. I don't like that. I would never want to lay, you know, $1.85 juice on under.
Well, speaking of
Tony Romo, back, you know, I'm a Romo supporter.
Yeah.
Back injury, age 34, though. That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I like that they didn't draft Johnny Manziel, though. Drafting Zach Martin was a very unusual sound Cowboys draft pick. For a team that really has never mastered the draft.
The Cowboys were getting a lot of bouquets, a lot of compliments in the draft, and they were all based on, oh, this is a very un-Jerry Jones-like draft. They're doing a great job.
Yes, yes. And it was a safe choice. It was good. I think their offensive line is going to be very good this year.
Yeah.
I think we talk about the NFC North teams.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys, I think, could be really good on the offensive side of the ball. The defense, that's the question
mark.
They
better outscore everybody.
Yeah. I mean, if the defense can regress to, or not regress, pardon me, can progress to average, they could steal that division.
Yes, yes. A middle-of-the-pack defense could give them this division because the division is so god-awful at 8-8. They're right there anyways. So, well, you mentioned punting a second ago here. I think we'll get into some audibling here because I know we're going to do this as a two-part thing, but time-wise here, Detroit coming up next, that's going to put us at the third point here. So I think we're going to cut this into three parts based on how long we're going with this here. So
okay.
To end our first third of this, we have the Detroit Lions I think I just whiffed on the alphabet here. I think
yes,
I just
you did. There's that
Denver,
OU education. Denver
comes next. Coming attraction, we'll lead off with Detroit next time.
Okay, there we go.
Denver, okay. Well, this one could kind of be short and sweet. What'd you find for the
11.5.
Oh, okay, because I had found 11. All right, this was going to be a tough one for me. I'm picking them to win 11 games, so it was going to be, but I was still picking them to go under. I still thought they'd be, believe it or not, more likely to be 10-6 than 12-4. I'll pick them for 11-5 and say under. They're going to be basically what they were last year, but not every ball is going to bounce their way. That was a historically great regular season.
Yeah, and the start. I mean, Peyton Manning was like a cyborg at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
This is tough for me. I think they're an 11 or 12 win team. Even money on over, by the way.
Yeah.
Unders minus 120.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that shows, again, that they bumped it up the half win. That's kind of predictable. There's no doubt in my mind they're winning the division.
No doubt in anybody's mind. And getting a bye. And New England are getting byes.
I don't like – I'm torn. 11 – there's no way they're going to be worse than 11-5.
Well, here's the thing.
There is no way they're worse than 11-5.
Other divisions they play. And again
– they do play the NFC West.
NFC West, AFC East. So
– that's New England, San Francisco, and Seattle all on the schedule then.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. I think they probably dump one to either St. Louis or Arizona. So.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Where are the games at? Let's look at the schedule. Here we go. That's the easy way for you to do this. Let's act like some real true pros here and just, like, click on something here.
Arizona with that secondary and that defense. I mean, if Arizona defensively is even a slightly poor man in Seattle, we saw the real deal in the Super Bowl, and it wasn't
pretty. Yeah, but it all depends on the schedule. Let's take a look at Denver's schedule here.
All right.
This is loading here. All right. Denver's schedule. By the way, did you know that they lost the Super Bowl 43-8?
This just in, yeah. Then the only 43-8 game in NFL history. That's kind of an oddity.
Wow. Jason Jones still getting over that one, I understand.
I believe so.
Yes. All right. So they're – okay, well, they open at home against Indy and KC, two teams that I don't think will be as good as last year.
No.
It could be 2-0. Then go at Seattle. We all know how that went the last time. Well, obviously won't
That's
be as bad.
That's not even a primetime game. That shows you how much NBC wanted it. They were like, thanks, but no thanks, buddy. I think that's a 425 Fox game.
CBS.
Or CBS.
Yes. And then they have an early bye week, Denver. That does Peyton Manning no favors.
That's true.
Then they get Arizona off the bye at home, though. So that matchup all of a sudden
that
doesn't look
helps.
As difficult. At the Jets. The Jets stay. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
San Francisco's they get San Francisco at home.
Well, and the Jets will be out for blood because that is a rematch of the 98 AFC Championship game. So there is that.
Yes, yes. I'm sure that will weigh heavily on Rex Ryan and the coaching staff's mind. This is not a hard schedule that Denver has. Look, every year, like, somebody's got to win 12. If there's a team that's going to win 12 games in the AFC,
yes,
it would
agree
be
with
Denver.
That. More likely than anybody
I
else.
Would go, you know, if you, well, the old, if you put a gun to my head, I would say over on this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And you generally don't like to go
over the high numbers.
Yeah.
I just, other than, what, they're going to be favored in almost every game with the exception of at Seattle.
Okay.
They should be favored in every other game. And Peyton Manning just goes like 12-4 every year. I've learned my lesson by picking under on the regular season win totals for him in the past. Playoffs will be a different story.
Until he doesn't. And in terms of bitter experience, you're talking to the guy who had Rich Gannon as a fantasy quarterback the year after Oakland went to the Super Bowl. So when guys hit the wall, they hit the wall hard, Kyle Ross.
They do, but I just don't see this being the year for Peyton Manning. He'll know when – I mean – he had a historically great season last year. Even if he falls off a little bit, he's still going to be one of the best quarterbacks
in the league.
I mean,
there's a thin blue line between him and Brock Osweiler behind QB for the Denver Broncos here. So, but
wow, you really – I mean, I guess there's always the thing with injury.
Right.
I mean, last year I was saying a lot of the same things that are like, oh, so I guess we're all convinced Peyton Manning's going to be healthy all the time.
Right.
All the guy did was put up the most ridiculous numbers ever. I mean, they lost Eric Decker, but I think that's overrated.
Well, and then
Peyton Manning made Eric Decker.
They brought in Emmanuel Sanders.
Who I think could be better.
And they drafted Cody Latimer, who could help him right off the
bat.
So,
and yeah, I mean, they had a big freak. Yeah, this team, look.
They do go from no Sean Marino to Monty Ball at running back.
He had some fumble issues there.
Yeah.
This team's going to be very good.
Okay.
This team's going to be very good.
The other thing, too, and I know we'll get into this more. I'll leave it on this note here. But as far as Denver and New England goes, I just want to leave it on the observational note of what I think the Super Bowl and the most recent NBA Finals have in common as far as what they taught us in retrospect here. Because, again, we knew during the season, AFC, and I've laughed about this with you on the show before, that first 6 weeks where everything was topsy-turvy, the AFC was winning all the interconference games, it seemed like. And that's why I started the year 0-12, because it was that great period
of time.
You
did do that. I felt terrible for you.
I did, but I mean,
I've never felt terrible for anyone, but I actually legitimately felt terrible in my heart for you.
Look, Pittsburgh started like what?
0-4.
0-4. The Giants started like 0-6.
I think 0-7 even.
0-7. You have to just throw out the first 6 weeks of the season, and when you do, then it really looks pretty fugly as far as the NFC dominating the AFC. I submit to you in both instances, with the Miami Heat and the Denver Broncos, we have to look back and say, that exposed way more than we knew the gap between the conferences. It really, in the NBA, we knew it was a historically bad Eastern Conference. I don't mean generally the East sucks, it's always worse than the West. I mean, no, way worse than usual. And in the AFC, this might be the nadir of being the NFC's bitch. We might be at that point now.
I'm not going to go that far with Denver. Denver's one of two teams that I think can compete with most NFC teams.
Most.
It was just a bad match. Like, obviously, they don't match up well with Seattle. We talked about that a lot in the Super Bowl podcast.
Sure.
San Francisco, they don't match up with them so well either, although the Seahawks are much better in the secondary.
Right.
And that was the difference maker. We said that the whole key with Denver is we're going to have four guys run their routes, and you can't stop all four of them.
Right.
Well, Seattle's like, guess what? Yes, we can.
Yeah.
And that screwed Denver up.
Right.
But other than Seattle and maybe San Francisco, Denver could beat any team in the NFC.
Green Bay? They're no better than a push with Green Bay, right?
Well, I like Denver better.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Denver better than Green
Bay. Well, here's the thing, though. You would also take Miami over, as they were constituted, I say happily, over most teams in the Western Conference. You wouldn't take them over San Antonio. Don't think you would have taken them over the Clippers necessarily.
No, or Oklahoma
or
City.
Oklahoma City doesn't have much depth either, so maybe then. But one team doesn't necessarily prove that. I'm just saying that the way that the team got disposed of by the best team from the other conference, I think is indicative in both instances of a Grand Canyon, as it were, between the conferences in both football and basketball. That was my observation.
I mean, if your point is the NFC is a lot better than the AFC, I'm not going to disagree with that.
But I just
like, it is.
But that, like, we might be at the point now, maybe it gets a little better this year, because, you know, the pendulum swings both ways. We might be at the point where the pendulum almost is ready to start swinging back, because I'm just saying, I don't know if it can get a lot more extreme than it is now. The NFC is just killing the we're going to have teams that we pick in the NFC that are, you know, one or two teams, maybe three teams, they're better than whoever the slug is that gets the sixth position in the AFC.
I'll say this. You're probably going to need 10 wins to make the playoffs in the NFC.
Yeah.
You might only need 8 in the AFC.
I agree with that. Yeah. And I think that's what Denver is kind of indicative of here. So, all right. So, we ended on that note. And, again, folks, we pick up with Detroit as we start again here, looking at the next 10 teams and the win totals for next year.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.